We will rejoice and be glad in him, and be glad in him. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And if you're glad you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
All right. You're glad for the rain, say praise the Lord. All right. Very good. All right. Well, have you ever stopped and thought back over the last 50 years? We're right on the bell. And you're amazed at how things have changed. Not that I was thinking too deeply about it when I was 21, but back over the last 50 years, medical technology has changed tremendously. Communication technology has changed so markedly. David, they've got gluten-free food today where they didn't have once before. Yeah. And it really is one of the best times in history to live. But that's the good side. Years ago, it was easy to see Christian principles everywhere. I mean, you would see Christian principles on TV, on the radio, in the news, in the majority of people's lives. You would see Christian principles. But now things have changed. Christian principles have been overlooked in many cases, and biblical morality has been ridiculed, made fun of. So things have changed markedly in the last 50 years. Some for the good, others not so good. Some examples: what we see on TV today would probably have been banned 25 years ago. Movies that would have been X-rated then, not that I've gone to X-rated movies then, but movies that would have been X-rated then are rated as mature audiences only today. Yeah. But interestingly, there was a thing coming on TV one time, and rated for mature audiences only, and it was Catholic Mass. My, how things have changed. Spirituality scares a lot of people, so that, they rate it. Even comedians today have changed. Used to, people were comedians because they were funny. Today, comedians rely an awful lot on vulgarity and talking about things that would have only been whispered about in the dark corners years ago. And that's what brings the biggest laughs today. Things have changed. Even our politics have changed. And from the voice of authority, John Anderson, who was at one time deputy to John Howard, said that the overall goal of politicians in his day was for the good of the country. He also said that today, self-interest and political positioning is the only thing that matters. So things have changed. Unfortunately, in our Western culture, things have been dumbed down to the lowest denominator. As for honesty, the truth is of little value today. Only dramatic, grandstanding, and insignificant half-truths cover the media. If it was really true, nobody would publish it. So they want their twist, and everybody wants it. Biblical morality is almost non-existent. What once was wrong now has become right, and what once was right has become politically incorrect. So it's true, the world's changed. Some for the good, others not so good. Most everything we see today has been dumbed down to where it's right on the outskirts of acceptability. And sometimes it crosses that line. But we shouldn't have been surprised, because Paul told his disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, I will be reading from the New Living Translation because I really want you to understand what he's saying. Paul says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Anybody agree? For people will love only themselves and their money. Spot on. It's written 2,000 years ago. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Boy, it couldn't be any clearer. They will consider nothing sacred. You would have thought Paul lived in this day. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. I'm sure Timothy was saying, this can't really get to that level. But it has. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Hell, amen. And Paul says, listen, stay away from people like that. These things are now our reality. Would you agree? But I didn't come today to talk about our culture. Our culture is only following through as it finds its way in a post-Christian era. We know we're living in a post-Christian era, and our culture is only responding accordingly. What I want to address today is our brand of Christianity and how we respond to a very quickly changing world. So I'm going to talk about you and me and our reactions to a changing culture. First, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's amazing how clear the picture is that Paul painted to Timothy. And the reality of every single thing that he said has happened today and is happening today. Lord, it just proves you knew what you were talking about when you showed it to Paul. But with that in mind, Lord, you do know what you're talking about. And even today, what you say has meaning to us. So we'll apply those things, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's two ways that most Christians will respond to a very changing culture. And the first one is they dumb down their Christianity where it doesn't cause any waves. Anybody ever known someone to do that? Don't shake your head yes or no, but perhaps you or I have done that. We dumb down what we believe, or perhaps hide it to where we won't be making waves. There's a second way that some people respond. They see what's happening in the culture and they just get angry. And they gear up for a fight. We see that all the time. Let me just say from the outset, both of those responses can have disastrous results. So here's our question. Our culture is being dumbed down, so how will we respond? Because I want you to think about that. as I have been thinking about this. Interestingly, I was listening to Christian radio last week, and Bernie Diamond was talking. He started talking about this thing, same thing. And generally, when the Lord wants me to focus on something, I can't get it out of my head. So there we go. So this is the result of it. So now, are we who are supposed to be disciples of Jesus, and that's what we've been talking about for the last month, becoming disciples of Jesus. Are we who are disciples of Jesus dumbing down our Christianity so it will be more acceptable in our culture? Are we doing that? Are we guilty of that? Well, I'm going to let you answer the question whether you are or not. Here's a few things. Do we live our Christian beliefs when we're around our friends or not? Secondly, do we hold on to and apply the things that we believe even in our workplace? We'll talk more about that in a moment. Thirdly, do we allow our Christian values to affect our private life as well as our public life? In essence, do we think and act like a Christian even when no one else is watching? Now, I know the arguments against these things. We let our Christian values slide because generally a person who is a real follower of Jesus, you're going to suffer some ridicule because of it. And nobody likes to be made fun of. I could ask you to raise your hand if you like being made fun of, and there would be no hands going up. And people who live for Jesus and have Christian principles, particularly in our culture, you're going to have some people who will ridicule you, okay? It's just going to happen. And then secondly, a person who is holding on to their Christian values in the workplace may very well be sanctioned today because of that. That's the reality of the world that we live in. Therefore, we dumb down our belief systems. We hide those to where they're not so obvious. These arguments are real. And these are the things that just may happen to you if you hold on to your Christian values. But we need not be surprised because Jesus told his followers that that would happen. He said, I'm sending you among the wolves. I'm sending you out, people, in among the wolves. And we're experiencing some of that. So what we do, we'll dumb down our Christian values to where they're more acceptable. Yes, we'll carry our Bibles and shout hallelujah at church, but when we're in the community, it's not quite so obvious. Right? Don't say yes or no. I just want you to think about that. Some people say, I know how to fix this. All I want to do is love God and love people. Rest of this stuff that's controversial, I'll just leave it alone. Well, what's wrong with loving God and loving people? Isn't that the first and second greatest commandments? So I'll just love God and love people. Is that all Christianity is about? Is it? I think if you ask Jesus, he would say, no, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. You see, Jesus is all about loving God and loving people, but he's also about saving people. You see, Jesus will reach to wherever we are, however we are, to whatever we're doing, there is nobody so evil or bad that he won't reach out to you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There's nothing that will keep him away from you except you've just rejected him. And if we come to him, yes, he will love us where we are, but he will not leave us there. He wants us to change. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is to where we can be like Jesus. And that takes some changing and some work. So loving God and loving people is only the beginning of our Christian walk. And there's some work to do. I'm going to just ask a very honest question here. Does anybody ever find that trying to grow as a Christian is hard work? Yeah, particularly if you get serious about it. The old flesh doesn't want to die. Anybody here have a stubborn will? Perhaps I should say, is there anybody who doesn't have a stubborn will? The old flesh wants to keep holding on. So it's hard work. So what people do, they just dumb down their Christianity. And that's really not what Christianity is all about. We, like I said, we've been talking about becoming disciples, and a disciple will lose their effectiveness if they dumb down their Christianity. So keep that in mind. Here's the second response. Some people, when they see our morally collapsing culture, they get aggro, they get upset, and they gear up for a fight. I mean, we see it in Christian radio. We see it in Christian books. We read it on the internet. Christians go into attack mode. You know what I'm talking about? And when they do, unfortunately, they lose their influence in the broader community. Let me show you why I think that that they will. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says this, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." That's the wisdom that comes from God. And if you're in attack mode, you're not going to be pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, or full of mercy. You're just not going to be that way. You see, that attack mode, that's the first part of fight and flight. You know the fight and flight concept? Why do people want to, why would an animal want to fight or run? He's scared. And most people kick into attack mode because they're scared. You know, the Apostle Paul said, a person who is controlled by the Spirit of God is characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and what? One more time. That means keeping that old self under control. Well, some people say, well, I'll be earnestly contending for the faith. I've said that many a time. But doesn't the Bible also say we're supposed to speak the truth in love? Or it's easy to... I said I wouldn't do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Slap the pulpit and preach hard and get angry. But how do you slap the pulpit and get angry in love? I haven't figured that one out. The truth in love, folks. That's what he said. I honestly believe that adversarial approach that a lot in the church over the last however long, they've taken that adversarial approach is probably the reason that Christianity is in such struggle today. Because they've lost their influence. In essence, we have become our own worst enemy. So now you can see that both dumbing down your Christianity and going into attack mode is the wrong response, right? We don't want to do either one of those. So how do we respond? How do we respond? I'm going to share with you a couple of things. The first thing you need to do, you ready for this? First, you need to understand the overwhelming power that supports you in your commitment to the Lord. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. You know it's the Great Commission. Let me read it to you. Jesus says this. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus has the power to do anything he chooses to do, right? Is there anything too hard for him? You sure? Even looking after you, right? You think you can trust him, right? All right. He says, everything, all power has been given to me. Now you go and make disciples. With that in mind, he can do anything. He tells us to go and make disciples. Oh, and just a few verses later, he says, oh, and keep this in mind, I am with you even to the end of the age. He's with us until the rapture of the church. Then it changes. He's not with us. We're with him. I'm looking forward to that day. But he tells, so we need to keep in mind, as we live our Christian life, the power that supports our adventure. You are more than powerful in Jesus Christ. What's the old song? We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're more than conquerors. But we don't go out and conquer with the sword. We go out and conquer with the love of Jesus Christ. You see the difference? So folks, you are so powerful. And then the Apostle Paul comes on the scene and says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Tony's interpretation of that is, God has more power than I can imagine working through me and you. Excuse me, that's wrong. You and me. Did you know you were that powerful? Come on, folks. Did you know that's how empowered you are as a believer? I'm not seeing a lot of recognition with that one. Hello? But let me tell you why this is so important. If you're going to hold to your Christian faith, particularly in the workplace today, you're going to have to be assured of the power that's with you. Think about it. You see, with these two promises in mind, one from Jesus and one from Paul, we should never, ever be intimidated by our culture. Never be intimidated by our culture. You see, the culture is going to continue to fall apart, but God has given us the ability to survive and to thrive in this culture. Do you believe that? Yeah, not a lot of heads racing up and down. Boy, that just gives me a new thought. I just dare not chase it right now. I'll keep going. So folks, we don't have to dumb down our Christianity because we're afraid of making waves. Secondly, we don't have to go into the attack mode, because most of the time the fight or flight kicks in because we're scared or angry. We don't have to be intimidated by the culture. So when you're with your friends or in private or in the workplace, remember who you are. Well, who are you? You're a child of God. You've been bought with the price of Jesus' blood. You have been redeemed. You have been infused by the Holy Spirit. You are royalty in Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Now, I saved the hardest for last. So how do you keep from dumbing down your Christianity? And how can you be effective in your workplace? Now, a lot of you are retired. I'll talk to you in just a second. But you have your own circle of influence, all right? So how can we be effective in our workplace? How can we maintain a Christian walk in an organization that was predominantly secular? First, you have to make the decision to do so. And why don't we? Because we're intimidated. We're scared. I know, I felt the feelings myself, even recently. You got to make the decision to do so. And secondly, you ready? Not only do you need to make the decision to stay true to your Christian belief, but secondly, you need to remember the attitude that you must maintain. We've already read it in James, that the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, and sincere. So we've got to make the decision to hold on to our Christian faith, but we've got to do it with the right attitude. One thing you don't want to do is go into the workplace all fired up, ready to attack. You won't be there long. And your influence is gone. Totally. Your opportunity, shot, it's gone. But if you come in with humility and confidence in God, you can make a difference. You see, humility does a lot for us, don't you agree? And if you come into your workplace, remember Paul said, in my weakness is when I become strong. So do you want to be strong for Jesus? Be humble in the workplace. No, don't dumb down your belief system, but do it with humility and compassion for those around you. I can hear it now. Well, I can't change the culture at work. Okay? With that attitude, you can't. You know the old saying, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, in both cases you're right. I remember my mom used to tell me, can't never did anything. So folks, if you think you can't, don't waste your time. You won't. But you need to remember how powerful you are through Jesus Christ. He's given us the power to do that. You see, throughout the Bible, we hear this phrase, nothing is impossible with God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And no secular organization can hold a light to the power of God. But Jesus elaborates on this There's a lot of good. If you have your Bibles, go with me to John 15. John 15, verses 5 through 7. And what we're going to do, we're just going to let Jesus speak, and I'm going to make a few comments, okay? John 15, verses 5 through 7. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. So those who stay in Christ, close to him, you're going to bear a lot of fruit, right? And then he gives this negative, for without me, you can't do nothing. What does that say? If you back up from your Christian faith, you will do nothing. But he goes on, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are not burned. We'll not talk about that one because there's a lot of theological discussion about that. But verse number 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. Anybody believe that? Careful. Remember, we used to sing a song, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it... I'm not on key, so I'll stop singing, but anyway, you can ask what you will, and it will be done. It'll be done unto you. What does it mean to abide in Christ? First, you get saved. And then you just get real close to him. You don't back away from him. Then you approach the culture in the same way that Jesus approached the culture. How did Jesus approach the lost people in his culture? Love, compassion. Now, he gave the Pharisees a fit occasionally, because that was a bunch of religious people who were teaching wrong doctrine. So he straightened them up. And twice we saw him go into his father's house that had been turned into a sale yard. And they were making exorbitant profits on Jewish sacrifices. And Jesus got aggro there. He kicked them all out. But by and large, when he's dealing with an unsaved, lost culture, it was love, compassion, and acceptance. Can you do that? That's what Jesus did. And if we're going to be Christians, disciples of Jesus, we got to go do it that way too. Would you agree? I'm going to ask that one more time. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's much better. Oh, and by the way, I honestly believe if we will take what he said in John 15, without him, I can do nothing. He said, if I'll abide in him and his words abide in me, I can ask what I will and it will be done. It even means changing the culture in a large corporation. Well, Tony, you are talking about the impossible here. Yeah, so what? The Bible clearly says all things are possible with him. Do you believe that? Well, where do we start? On your knees in prayer. You got to really make that decision. I'm going to make a difference with my Christian beliefs. Christian principles work. But oh, here's the key. You don't force it on anyone. You come in with love and compassion and concern, which earns the right for you to state your opinion. That's how you change the world. That's how Jesus did it. And just in case you still think it's impossible, I'm going to leave you with a quote from my hero of the faith, Hudson Taylor. I think that quote's on your piece of paper if you want to read it. He says this, there are three stages to every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Second, it's difficult. Third, it's done. How do you like that? Any great work of God begins with, this is totally impossible. Then it gets difficult. Then all of a sudden you look behind you and it's done. Hudson Taylor knew that. Try changing the culture in China. All things are possible with him. So folks, let's make sure, and I'll be finished, that we don't dumb down our Christianity. But please, please do it with love and compassion. Oh, and by the way, if you're retired and you just want to influence your friends or the people around you, you do it with the same method. First, make a decision to do so. Secondly, don't come in with all guns blazing, ready for a fight. You come in with love and compassion like Jesus did. And remember, you have the all-consuming, all-powerful power of God supporting you. And with that kind of a strategy, you can't lose. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I know that today what I've been talking about is a little bit challenging. And yes, we live in a world that's kind of going down the gurgler. But we're not surprised because you told us that's what's going to happen. And unfortunately, when we see that, we get intimidated by what's happening. And we know that there's a good possibility we're going to be ridiculed for what we believe. But that's happened to Christians for 2,000 years. Some have been burned at the stake. Father, help us to not dumb down our Christianity. I don't think we need to worry about being burned at the stake here, but I think ridicule might be there. But Father, help us to do it like Jesus would. Help us to pray about it. Help us to meet people's needs. Help us to show concern, compassion. And then we will ask you that you begin to change the lives of people around us and even change the cultures in which we work and live. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A little bit of homework. Ready for some homework? Had so many people tell me they've enjoyed reading through the Gospels. We'll start reading through the book of Acts. Slowly. On purpose. And hold on to your hat. Because it gets exciting. Please stand. You all have a great week. May God bless you.